Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking again today with my friend Arlita Winston. She was giving us some wonderful spiritual principles from 2 Chronicles 20. Those principles were, would you like to repeat those five?
To know the Word of God, what God says about Himself, to know the character of God, to pray, to sing, and to worship.
Now, there may be somebody listening to us who was earnest in taking notes on yesterday's talk and really wanting to follow exactly the principles of 2 Chronicles 20, and they might say to us today, okay, I have done that. I've read the chapter. I believe in the God of Jehoshaphat. I certainly understand that the character of God is trustworthy. I have prayed. I have even sung, and I hope some of you listeners have actually sung that weapon, as our leader calls it, powerful weapon against the enemy, which is singing. And I've worshiped the Lord. But Arlita, I'm still sitting here shaking. I don't know what to do now. I just feel paralyzed.
Here, I think, is where faith comes in, where you notice in verse 16, God gives him a direction to go down against them. He says this twice. He says, now you're not going to need to fight, but you are to go and face them. And he says another thing. He says, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. I believe that these principles that we're talking about are done on our knees, on our faces before the Lord. They're not done in public. They're done in the quietness of your morning time or whatever time. It could be in the middle of the night while you're lying on your bed and so restless you cannot sleep. You're in such agony. But as you begin worshiping Him and declaring who He is, then that next day, I think you need to, in faith, go out and meet that formidable enemy that you cannot face in your natural self, and know that in quietness and in confidence will be your strength, and that God Himself will give you the words to say to that friend, to that neighbor that you can't stand. As you're going down the grocery lanes, up one aisle and down the other, and you meet somebody who you cannot face at all, your first impulse is to whirl around and go the opposite direction so that you do not need to meet them face to face. And God says, be still. Know that I'm God. I'm going to fight for you. Who are you defending? Don't defend yourself. Let me defend you. Don't be defensive. Trust in the mercies of God. You know that you said you deserve death? Then don't stand on your rights or whatever you are defending yourself with. Trust that God to defend you. Quietly face, knowing that God is going to pour that love and that forgiveness. And this brings up the whole question of much of our fear comes from our not having dealt in our own hearts with certain bitternesses or a need to forgive somebody that we're terribly upset with.
The kind of fear that is described here, of course, is a great enemy of a nation, and we're talking about weapons and armies and all of that sort of thing. But to bring it right down to an individual situation, I'm sure that one reason that we fear other people is because of some breakdown in our relationship. Mm-hmm. We fear their anger. We fear that we ourselves may fly off the handle. We just don't want to see them. We'd rather walk across the street than have to say hello to a person like that. Would these principles apply in personal relationships?
Well, they applied very much to me during a time of real anguish that I had of alienation with one of my daughters-in-law, at a time when there were many misunderstandings at the time of their wedding. And I would get up off my knees and wonder if I could even make it through the day, because here I had managed to raise five children, and now they had married, and I wasn't getting along with one of my daughters-in-law. And I was I ached from head to toe because I couldn't face her. And I thought, what have I done wrong? And I would leave every morning to walk our dog, and we would walk out for several miles, and I would do that singing that I talked about. And I would say, all right, God, I don't feel like singing. In fact, I really would like to die. But I will sing, and I will sing because of who you are, and you are going to help me through this situation. I don't want to waste my sorrow. I want to learn from it. A friend of mine, Millie Dinert, said to me the other day when I was asking her about fears, I said, what do you do, Millie, when you fear? And she said, I release it to God. Now, are you ready for the second point? I release it consistently to God. And the third point is, I try to decide, am I going to grow from this experience, or am I going to groan through it? And I thought, there it is, the releasing in utter trust to a God who is sovereign, who knows me inside out. He knows my very thoughts. He knows the intents. He knows everything that I intended in that relationship with my daughter-in-law. He knows exactly what went on between my daughter-in-law and me. And he loves both of us intensely. And he is working out, he is perfecting his image in both of us. So am I going to groan through this experience, or am I going to grow through this and learn from it? Well, I hit on a wonderful solution on one of those morning walks. As I was praising the Lord for who he was, and as I was crying all the way through the walk, miles of tears, and the Lord showed me, Arlita, you don't need to worry about what she has done to you. You need to worry about your reaction to what she has done. That's what I'm concerned about. And your reaction does not please me. And I got home. I could hardly wait to get home, to fall on my face before the Lord and say, God, show me now, where is my reaction not right? And he showed me the self-pity, and he showed me the arrogance, and he showed me the pride, and the fact that, oh, I don't deserve this. And he showed me that this was repugnant to him, and that he wanted to forgive me, and he wanted to cleanse me of that, and he wanted to relieve me of the tremendous weight that that was causing. Because every time I would see her, I would want to say, I don't deserve the treatment I am getting. Well, God moved in that situation, and he showed me how I could repent and say, Father, I repent of my self-pity. And I called it sin for what it was. And I decided not to look at what the other person was doing to me, but I decided to look at my reaction. And God himself moved in to forgive me, to cleanse me. But he did something super abundant, and that is, he began working in my daughter-in-law, and her heart and my heart began softening towards one another. And there came a forgiveness that took 4 years to happen. But God did a miracle in both of us, so that now we are united as a true mother and daughter.
And that is exactly what we find in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. Judge them, O God, our God, for we have no strength to face this great horde which is invading our land. In a sense, your daughter-in-law was like a horde invading your life, because here was all this fear and rebellion and anger and resistance wanting to protect yourself from her. And obviously, you didn't have the strength to change her. There isn't any way in the world you could have changed her by yourself. So they prayed, we know not what to do. We lift our eyes to you. and then the Lord gives him his answer, the battle is in God's hands, not yours. I think you were doing then what Millie Dinert was talking about, releasing not just your fear,
That's
but
right.
your self-pity, your arrogance. You were letting go.
And I was repenting of the areas that I needed to repent of.
Exactly. You have to deal with yourself. You can't deal with the enemy. And so when God said to the children of Israel, don't be afraid, that was his putting his finger on their problem. Leave it with me. I'll deal with these enemies. Am I reading you loud and
yes.
clear? I don't want to change what you're
exactly.
trying to say here, but that's
exactly.
the message that I'm getting. And I'm sure that we must have many listeners who need exactly this simple principle. Now, we only have a minute or so, maybe 2 minutes, a minute and a half left. I'm sure that somebody would say to us, how do I release this? What would Millie Dinert say if he said, but what do you mean release it? Exactly what do I do? Is that what you did?
I think it has to do with the mind and what you permit your mind to think about. You can fold clothes or drive your children to school and go about your day-to-day business just constantly going over and over and over the situation. You can be vacuuming, and that's the worst time for me. I can go over a conversation 100 times and still get no further than when I first started.
And think of all the things you could have said and all the things you didn't say. And
that's right. And justify yourself.
Yeah.
And pretty soon, if the other person wasn't an enemy, he certainly becomes an enemy by the time you're through with them. And what we have to realize is that God is perfecting each of us, that God was working on me just as much as he was my daughter-in-law. You just have to leave it with God. You deliberately put your mind on something else, and I sing. I sing about the character of my God.
Thanks, Arlita Winston.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.